God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I watched the TV show. I watched the television programming tactic, brilliant tactic. I want to congratulate the House Republicans on brilliant, brilliant counter-programming of one another. Well done. I deeply want to believe in Speaker Mike Johnson, but I no longer can. Sorry, I'm out. Speaker Johnson has the opportunity to stop funding abortion. He has the opportunity to stop funding the surgical and chemical mutilation of children. He has the opportunity to stop funding DEI and critical race theory in our schools, which is nothing more than creating kids who are angry, drug-addicted, racist little sex bots. He at least has the opportunity to fight for that, but Mike Johnson has said that there's a time crunch. So we have to pass the so-called minibus, which is a ridiculous phrase, meaning smaller version of an omnibus, meaning a bill no human being can reasonably read, even in 72 hours. So I watched Mike Johnson surrender on that. There's nothing magic about the 72 hours. We just have to have time to look at all this. Well, you don't. The way these bills are written is specifically to be unreadable. Entire blocks of paragraphs crossed out saying replaced with this reference number from this bill from this year. You have to go back and read those. You can't do that. But the things that this continues to fund, the new office for the FBI that is meddling in our election again, that meddled in the January 6th affair, that invented the so-called kidnapping in Michigan, which was nothing more than a Fed napping. No one was ever really at risk. There were more informers than there were actual participants. We're going to continue to fund that. The National Institute of Health and the CDC would continue to pretend to study, quote, gun violence. Why would they, the CDC and the NIH, study so-called gun violence so they can make it a public health issue? They started doing this in the separate country of Seattle. 6 years ago, I said they're going to turn this into a public health issue. Why? Because then they can use public health rules to do away with your right to own guns. Because we know when there's a bad flu, you can shut the entire world down because there's a not even bad flu. If the World Health Organization gets their wish and the people who run Joe Biden have him sign this document, World Health Organization is pushing, the World Health Organization could declare a pandemic of gun violence. How? By Twitter reports of shootings. Seriously. Speaker Mike Johnson says it's a time crunch, so we have to move this stuff through. Why? What's the time crunch? Is God going somewhere? I didn't get the memo that God was going to take off for a bit. In fact, I'd understood he's still in charge. So what time crunch here? Now, I firmly believe that Mike Johnson loves the Lord Jesus, but I don't think he trusts him. Oh, you can come at me all day long on this. Well, sometimes I search my heart as I read the Psalms in the morning. And am I really living in my integrity? Do I really trust the Lord God with my entire heart and soul? Really? Even as I'm ruminating on things I would rather do in my life than what God has me doing? I really trust God? This is really when I'm sad and depressed and really struggling as I have been the past week or so, really struggling with depression. I haven't struggled with depression for probably 24 years. And man, I've been in it. And I've been trusting God? Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, what is this time crunch you're talking about? Well, I mentioned the TV show, The Counterprogramming. Oh, the Bobulinski thing. That's some good TV. That is such good TV. Bobulinski is perfectly cast for this. He's a military veteran, served the country honorably, had great business success, went to work for the Biden crime family. I think he's absolutely sincere in his concern that the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated the White House. He's right. No, I've had two high-level military retirees tell me the same thing. A retired lieutenant general told me, yes, the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated the White House and the Pentagon. I had a lieutenant colonel who was run out of his military command because he wouldn't take the COVID injections. I had him tell me the same thing. But it's great counter-programming because Jim Jordan's committee gets to go after Joe Biden with Tony Bobulinski testifying, with AOC pretending that RICO is not a crime, just simply categories of crimes, with Dan Goldman forgetting the first rule of cross-examining a witness, never ask a question to which you do not know the answer. Great, fantastic, dramatic TV going on at the same time as Mike Johnson is telling us, well, gosh, there's just a time crunch. Therefore, I can't extend the 72-hour rule. I can't live by that. We need to pass this minibus. We need to pass this spending or bad, bad stuff will happen. Like what exactly? God will turn his back on us if we don't pass this bill. Now, he didn't say that. I do not want to bear false witness. Again, I believe he loves the Lord. I just don't think he trusts him. I don't think he's wearing the armor. Time crunch. Really? Time crunch, Mike Johnson. Time crunch, is it? Okay, let's play a game, you and I together. And my apologies to Randy and everybody else because this is not what's on the show rundown. So my apologies. But sometimes I feel called to speak. Weird that a talk show host would do that, right? So Randy, I'm sorry about all the sound clips. Let's move on now. Let me get back to this. I don't think Mike Johnson trusts God, and I'll tell you why. If there's a time crunch, so we have to pass this minibus, let's you and I play a game together. So the minibus spending orgy doesn't pass the $1.2 trillion, giving Nancy Pelosi more than what she asked for, giving Chuck Schumer everything he asked for. If that didn't pass and the government shut down for 3 weeks, what would be the worst that would happen? The absolute worst. The core aspects of government would still work. We would just print more money. Back in the day during Barack Hussein Obama, the Treasury Secretary, Jack Hu, I think it was his name, said, oh, we're using extraordinary counting measures so that we're not going further into debt. In other words, they lied. They do that. If it does pass, let's talk about time crunches. Here's a time crunch. You live in one of the states obsessed with gender ideology. The lie of that, absolutely satanic, from the top to the bottom, satanic. Time crunch. You're a parent, and you come home, and your kid has been in the school counselor's office, and now there's a nurse and a doctor and a lawyer from the state, and you're drawn into a meeting, and you are told, your son is behind those doors, but we need to talk to you before you talk to your son. And you say, oh, you have the wrong person. We only have daughters. That's the problem. No, you decide now. Do you want a living son or a dead daughter? Because the state will take your son and make sure that they're affirmed. We'll put them in a house that actually cares for them. Decide. You have 30 seconds. That's a time crunch. Well, that would never happen, except it does. All around the country it does. And Mike Johnson wants to fund that with your tax dollars. That's a time crunch. Time crunch. We had the Supreme Court say Roe versus Wade is overturned. There is no federal right to kill a baby. In this bill, this spending omnibus, minibus, spending orgy, $1.2 trillion of made-up pretend money, they're going to continue to allow the federal government to fund abortions. Time crunch? A little baby in the womb fighting for its life against a vacuum. Or worse, acid. Time crunch, Mike Johnson? Time crunch. Somewhere around a second term of figurehead Biden being run by whoever runs him, we can have 20 million illegal immigrants in our country who have no allegiance to us because they've been taught to not have it. They've been specifically called here to play us as suckers. For each person doing that, military-aged men, there might be for every 1,000 military-aged men coming across the border, there might be a woman and a child. Then how many of them are being trafficked? The end result is a negating of the Electoral College. That's what it is. It's a negating of the Electoral College. Mike Johnson wants to fund this because there's a time crunch. A time crunch, when you're talking about decisions of this magnitude, would only be real if you really, really thought that your time is here and now and only here and now. That you're not, in fact, responsible for an eternal game. You are, Mike Johnson, in an eternal game. You are right now punting on spiritual warfare. Punting. I believe you love the Lord Jesus. I just don't think you trust him. And you can say the same thing to me, Mike. And you'd be right. Sometimes I don't trust God. And thank God I'm not running the Republican part of the House of Representatives. You are. There's no time crunch that's worth what's in these bills. Oh, the Bobulinski stuff, that counter-programming going on so that we can get our satisfaction out of that. That's some dopamine stuff. It really is. I can say, I'll admit it. I watched Bobulinski call Jamie Raskin a liar and Dan Goldman a liar, and I sat there and, yeah, this guy's so perfectly cast. I know he's a normal human being. I'm not saying that he's an actor, but the TV drama's acting because nothing will come of this because the Department of Justice isn't going to do anything. The Senate's, they're not going to impeach. Well, they're not going to convict Joe Biden. They won't even have the constitutionally prescribed hearing on the impeached Alejandro Mayorkas. Remember that? He's impeached. There's no hearing on it. The Senate won't have one. So it's TV. It's great TV. I don't know if you saw this with Dan Goldman. You're probably old enough like me to remember Gilligan's Island. Remember when Gilligan screwed everything up? Dan Goldman's the Gilligan of the House of Representatives in the Democrat side. He was asking Tony Bobulinski about the infamous big guy email, 10% for the big guy. And Dan Goldman broke the first rule of cross-examination, which is never ask a question to which you don't know the answer. He said to Tony Bobulinski, but did anyone respond to this email? And Tony Bobulinski said, yes, they did. And Goldman went, wait, stop, reclaiming my time. And sorry. It's a clown show. It's consequential, except it's not. What is consequential is there was a Speaker of the House put into office who said he was going to straighten things out, and he's not. And my support for Mike Johnson has ended today. I want to see the chair vacated. I want another Speaker. But that's chaos. Is it? Is it chaos? Okay. If you believe your time is here now only. You know what's going to be chaos? Losing the spiritual war. That'll be chaos. And that's what Mike Johnson is cowardly walking his way up to. I do pray for him because I believe he does love the Lord Jesus. I just can't support him anymore. We'll come back, maybe even get back on track. We'll see. Todd Herman, this is The Disciples View. sometimes God sees his control of the show. And I truly felt like that was God telling me, no, I need you to talk about the spiritual war at the top. I know you did a lot of work preparing the show, but I don't care. And when God speaks, I think that we are wise to respond with a yes and how high. We're going to continue, though, and it's really is, once again, this is God's direction. I truly believe this. And I'm not a prophet or anything like that. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not contending that God's speaking through me at all. I've been reading the prophets because I'm utterly convinced that we must read the prophets to understand what we're facing here in this world at this time. Because the parallels are so thick. This week you heard from my friend and pastor, senior pastor at Real Life Ministries, Jim Putman, in a small piece of a over hour-long interview he and I did on this topic. And I've been drawn to the prophet Ezekiel. Fascinating story, fascinating the way God used this man and what he had this man go through in order to show Israel, here's what's going to happen. It was, I mean this very respectfully, it was almost performance art. One of the things I was reading this morning, probably the other morning, was Ezekiel was to take all his belongings as if he was going to be in exile and spend his days digging through the wall of the city and back in. Because this is what's going to happen to your princes. They're going to flee. They're going to have to flee because God is going to let his wrath pour out because of how the people had turned from him. And I'm thinking of Jeff Bezos, who just left the separate country of Washington, not a prince, not a godly man, but fleeing Egypt. In Jeff's case, it's clearly because they want his money. This now capital gains tax. He said, okay, fine, I'll move to Florida. I'm thinking about others escaping society. I'm thinking about actual princely people. And I mean that in the finest sense. Who've had to flee the separate countries to protect their kids. Their kids from gender jacking and drugs and becoming angry, drug-addicted little sex bots. We help these families. We've helped 40 or 50 of them, usually in the gender jacking thing. And in Ezekiel, man, it became clear. Thinking about all the many churches, well, no, let me rephrase that, all the many religions that now exist. The religion of black, capital B, versus white, lowercase w, because, of course, it's white supremacy to have it be uppercase, but not black supremacy to have the B be uppercase. I'm thinking about the church of sex, the religion of sex. This feels very good to my flesh. Therefore, it's good for me. And it's good for you to have to say it's good for me. Thinking of that. The religion of economy and our betters telling us, don't you get it? The Ukraine war is funding the manufacturing base in America. This is a very, very good thing. Wait a minute. When President Trump was in power, you said a war in Europe would be a very, very bad thing. But it's the topic of one word. One word God abhors. That drew my attention to a quote from Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 20. His beautiful ornaments they used for pride, and they made their abominable images and their detestable things of it. Therefore, I'll make it an unclean thing to them. The Lord had shown through the prophet Ezekiel how the temples, synagogues would become unclean because they already were. What was going on inside them? It's easy, easiest thing in the world to hear that and go, oh gosh, what's so bad? And there's this phrase we use in evangelical circles, but God, see, we're not Mike Johnson, who we spoke about in the last segment, Mike, who I think, Speaker Mike Johnson, who I think loves Jesus. In fact, I'm certain he loves Jesus. He just, in my estimation, doesn't show any signs of trusting Jesus. Not in a spiritual war, that he's an important leader of a spiritual war, if he chose to lead in it, and he's not. But we're also in spiritual war. All of us, me, you, everybody here, is a result of warfare, spiritual warfare. There's a woman who is a government employee. Her name is Kayla Elise. And Kayla Elise is an equity officer for a city in Maryland. And she says, "I hate it when white children stare at me. It's literally terrifying." She wants to burn it all down. All being society. White society. I don't know what white society means. It certainly couldn't mean white people. You wouldn't mean that you want to burn down white people, right? I think about the degree of hatred in that statement. Oh, people can be wrong-headed on race. People can be products of their time. People can be surprised. They've never been around black people or white people, or you can have culture shock. That's all normal or ordinary human experience. But to be terrified because a little child stares at you, but that little child is white. This is someone who has been brought up to believe that the word white is synonymous with the word evil. Brought up, or perhaps not brought up this way, but trained this way in college. Or perhaps it's just dividing for power. But then again, she is an equity officer for a city in Maryland. I was remembering, as I'm talking about her, that people can be misguided, but that's not what we're talking about. I was remembering this horrible and endearing experience, horrible and beautiful experience. Took some of our aunties once, no, one of our aunties to breakfast. My mom did. My mom had been forced to go live with them when the authorities came to take my mom's brothers away from her. My mom, at the age of about 12, 13, became the mother. Her mother was sick and very dramatic and had kind of shoved herself away upstairs and wasn't mothering. And then sadly, she died and she didn't know the Lord, even more sad. And the authorities found out that my mom was raising these kids, and they came to take her brothers. So in the middle of the night, during a snowstorm, she put them in a wagon, and she walked several miles across this field in this snowstorm to the aunties and begged to stay there. And the aunties took them in until the authorities forgot about them, and then they went home. There were five aunties. Three of them were ridiculously mean to children. One tolerated us. One loved us. Sweet lady, Kay. And Kay and my mom, my sister and I, went to breakfast at Perkins. You remember Perkins? Famous pies? There's a point to the story. So we're sitting there having breakfast and pie, because Kay always said, when the kids go out and I pay, the kids have pie. Loved Kay. Loved her. Chocolate cream pie, as I recall, I was having. And there was a family sitting behind us, and there was a little baby. Oh, I can remember to this day the little baby's face. I think it was 11, maybe 10. And I like to goof with kids, always have. So I was kind of goofing with the little baby, waving. And here's what my Aunt Kay said, and I'll slightly edit it because there's a word I choose not to say. And Kay said to my mom, "Oh, Jan, look at the cute little N-word baby." And Kay had a broad smile on her face, loving eyes. "Look at the cute little N-word baby." I was shocked. I looked at my mom. My mom said, "Kay, we don't use that language." She said, "Well, Jan, that's what we call them. That's a very cute baby, very cute." She meant both things. The word slipped out, but it wasn't with hatred. It was stupid. It was a mistake. This woman, who is a city employee, Kaylee Elise Carter, She continues to say these things. She continues to double and triple down on these things. This is the race war that Mike Johnson is funding. Kids like, adults like this, at one point were turned into this. When Mike Johnson refuses to stand and say, no, we're not going to pass your minibus until you remove from it DEI and racial indoctrination, you're going to create more people like this who live under the sin of hatred. She can't come to God's love while she's practicing the practice of hating her neighbor, practicing it, not accidentally slipping into it. Anybody can do that. And the more we let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, run us, the more likely we are to convict ourselves, or rather the Spirit to convict us within us, to convict our flesh and to go, oh my gosh, I fell into hatred. I fell into this frustration. She is going to continue to practice this absent a miracle, absent God getting her and bringing her back. And Mike Johnson, who wants to fund this minibus, is funding the creation of people like this. That's not trusting Jesus. But there's a time crunch on the omnibus, minibus spending, right? There's a time crunch. I don't know what it is, but apparently it's very, very bad. There's also this. This is from Statista. The increased percentage of U.S. adults who identify as LGB and so-called T, because no one is actually T, because no human being can be born in the wrong body, because God creates us in the womb as body, mind, and soul, one unit. Let's see, in 2014, there were less than 2% of traditionalists who considered themselves LGB, so-called T. Baby boomers, it was maybe 3%. Millennials in 2014, it was about 6%. Oh gosh, look. 20%, 19.7% of Gen Z identify this way. 11.2% of millennials. 3.3% of Generation X. That really hasn't changed much. But the Gen Z, well, of course, they've been taught this. They have been shown you will either identify as L or G or B or T, or you will be an evil and disgusting and boring person who doesn't have any sophistication, and you're being left behind. You have FOMO. Remember FOMO? Do you know what that means? Fear of missing out. FOMO. And you're being pressured from kindergarten on to declare your sexual preference. My daughter, when she came out of treatment, something horrible happened to her and it really affected her. And we made the horribly difficult decision to get into the adolescent mental health world, family and adolescent, broken kid, broken family. And we took her to a school God steered her towards, really did. I couldn't believe God steered her towards that school, but he did. We were walking through the class, the hallways, and kid saw a new kid. It was a fairly small school. Kid saw a new kid, and they kept talking to my daughter. And later on the way home, I said, oh, what were the kids asking you? She said, oh, they want me to declare my, am I gay or straight or bi, and what's my pronouns? Every single kid asked her that question. Are you gay or straight? What's your pronoun? This was a high school. Why would God send her there? Well, here's why. It's because she came home one day and said, Dad, there's a kid at school who thinks he's a dog. I said, how do you feel about that? She said, it's insane. I said, and she said, no, Dad, he actually thinks he's a dog. He has a dish in the backyard, and his parents let him eat out of the dish on his hands and knees. And on his birthday, as a birthday gift, his older brother walked him to school with a leash. He wore a dog suit. I asked the principal about that one day. She said, yeah, our theory is as long as the dog can read and write, we're good. My daughter said this, told me this story, and I said, honey, to me, it's all insane, the pronouns and all of it. It's all insane. Everybody knows he's not a dog. My daughter said, oh, I get it. I really get it. Wow, it is all insane. So there's that statement, but God. We weren't going to send her to that school, but God. So with this increase in kids who've been conned into this, if they continue to practice same-sex activity, it separates them from God forever. I hate that because I have family members who practice it. I love them so much. They are so beautiful. And Mike Johnson wants to fund more of this because there's a time crunch. We have to pass de minimis because there's a time crunch. The number in Congress is 202-224-3121 if you wanted to call Mike Johnson and respectfully ask him to stop this. To remind him that Jesus Christ is coming back, this time as judge. I don't know that Jesus is going to be happy with Mike Johnson deciding to fund this because there's a time crunch. But then again, I'm sure Jesus has things to say to me. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. I think there is a plan that's in place in Washington, D.C. amongst the professional Republican class, and that is to make certain that President Trump is not ever allowed back into the White House. And when you worship systems, you don't want the system to change because the system has been so, so very, very good. Even when the system is broken, systems, right? People get used to systems because the pain of change is so, so high a bar. And when you've invested a lot of time in gotten a lot of money and power out of a system, and if that system were to break, you would be at great risk. Wow, you're going to do a lot to protect that system. I am not someone who goes around believing that Donald Trump is a godly and gentle man. He does godly things sometimes, for sure. God has worked enormously through him, without doubt. I believe God will do it again. I believe he's doing it now. If God's using Donald Trump to show us, here's what the powers that the prince of the air is willing to do to maintain control over his government. President Trump is as flawed as anyone. God's choosing to work through him in these ways, but I'm not someone who places my hope in Donald Trump at all. Because the only true hope is that of Jesus Christ. And I will walk through flames to go vote for President Trump. Because the alternative is to go the Mike Johnson route, the Speaker Johnson route. There's a time crunch. We need to continue to fund abominations because there's a time crunch. I need to vote for the abomination because Donald Trump is sometimes mean and inappropriate. No, I'll run through flames to vote for President Trump. So there is this, I firmly believe, plan with what I call the shiny shoe class, the professional Republican class. And the definition of that is if you ask them, what do you do for a living? And they answered you honestly, they would say, I'm Republican. Whoa, wait a minute. You are a Republican and what you do for a living is you Republican? Yes. What does that mean? Well, I do whatever it is to be a Republican. Whatever that means, right now being a Republican means we really, really, really want to go to war in Ukraine. And when President Trump was in office, it meant we really, really don't want to go to war in Ukraine. But now it means this. Okay. In other words, the letter R is your God. So there are some Republicans who apparently intend to see the Democrats have a House majority, but for what outcome? Well, let's look into it. The professional class of Republican hates the thought of the people regaining any control over government, and they're willing to give Democrats a majority in Congress so Democrats can refuse to certify a Donald Trump election. I believe that's why Ken Buck is not running again.
Hi, this is Congressman Ken Buck. I have decided not to seek a sixth term in the U.S. House of Representatives. Too many Republican leaders are lying to America, claiming that the 2020 election was stolen, describing January 6th as an unguided tour of the Capitol, and asserting that the ensuing prosecutions are a weaponization of our justice system. These insidious narratives breed widespread cynicism and erode Americans' confidence in the rule of law. It is impossible for the Republican Party to confront our problems and offer a course correction for the future while being obsessively fixated on retribution and vengeance for contrived injustices of the past. Being your representative in Washington, D.C. has been the greatest professional thrill and highest honor of my life. May God bless you, and may God bless these United States of America.
That's a fascinating statement for everything that he doesn't say, which is, how does stepping down help any of that? If you believe I'm lying when I tell you I believe the election was stolen, and I absolutely 100% know it was inarguably rigged by your government, and I believe it was stolen, and I can make the case, how does Ken Buck leaving Congress help alleviate that? It helps because it's likely to be a Democrat who replaces him. And that way, Ken Buck doesn't have to vote no on certifying an election with Donald Trump as winner if Donald Trump's team is able to get through the massive amount of election fraud that they are throwing at him now. Election meddling with all of these lawsuits, all of these attacks, putting Peter Navarro, a former advisor, in jail now in Miami. All of it clear as day corruption. Ken Buck won't have to make that vote. Ken Buck can say, oh, those dastardly Democrats refusing to certify the election. He probably won't say that, but he could. He and three other Republicans appear to be joined in this, well, scheme. And if the Democrats decide to not certify an election win with President Trump, the Democrats will have absolutely lit the flame towards civil war. In the next 5 years, 10, 15, don't know, but they will have lit it. When elections are meaningless and people are told you have no voice, eventually people revolt. It will certainly, certainly lead to utter chaos and attempts for states to secede. We'll see it all again. But God reminds us there's no civil war in heaven. He's still in charge. That may come to pass. They may do this thing. How we respond at that time is going to take a lot of prayer. I am not spiritually mature enough to lead that. I am not. It'll have to be people more spiritually mature than me. And in prayer, we're going to have to figure out what to do if the Democrats refuse to certify the election, because it will be a coup. And at that point, they're the ones violating Romans 13 in complete contravention of it and the Constitution. May not happen. God could forestall it, change it. But on this program, we do something that might seem counterintuitive to many. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Ken Buck on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other... For example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
I still can't get enough of that one. These are three sound bites that I think back me up on the notion that God allows these people to have this position of authority and visibility so a lot of us can be called to him by looking at this going, wait, these are the leaders? Soundbite number one is a lesson from figurehead Biden. Don't mix Adderall and alcohol.
Great to have you here, and I was very happy to see Northern Ireland's Executive Assembly reinstated last month. Now Northern Ireland is a fully functioning government again. And I didn't know your colleague.
What?
Some people in Northern Ireland represent the great peace dividend of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement.
Did you get any of that? I didn't. I didn't. It's slurry and it's sad, and being cognitively disordered is not funny. What's funny is we're to pretend it's all very, very normal. Soundbite number two in today's Tower Babbling, climate grifter and pusher of the mRNA injections, John Kerry says weather infects people with disease.
The climate crisis is killing people. It is knowingly, wittingly allowing people to die and infecting them with disease and providing them with air that kills people because we're not willing to take the steps necessary to do what we know we need to do.
Like stop flying on private jets. Well, unless you're him. It's so obvious. Praise God. Praise God for giving us an opportunity for people to look and go, they're all liars. And God is truth. In him, he's light. In him, there's no darkness at all. Last soundbites in today's Tower Babbling. A police chief in Toronto has advice for people who might face home invasion robberies.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them. And they're not toy guns. They're real guns. They're loaded.
So just leave your car key, your fob right there so they can just grab it. Why not just leave it outside or in the car? Why even bring it in? If you don't have a nation of laws, you have a nation of feelings. And if you have a nation of feelings, people with the most negative feelings and willing to do the worst will run things. Thank goodness there is absolute gun control in Canada. Oh, wow. Wait, that didn't work? That's weird. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
on a disciple's view.
We wrap up the show usually with a personal observation from me. And it's a way of me just letting you know more about me so you can judge what I say better, understand my biases from where I come, and that way make decisions as to whether you want to follow the show. And so many of you are so kind to spend a huge amount of time with us. I think it's a fair trade. I'm about now to show my utter hypocrisy. So here I am talking about Speaker Johnson and no rule of law. And if there is no rule of law, we're ruled by feelings. And if you're ruled by feelings, then the most negative feelings win and the people willing to do the worst things win. And I'm going to tell you a story about where my dad went a little bit outside the law, a little bit. But man, I admired it. I still do. I'm torn. I'll let you judge. Should I admire my dad for this thing he did? You can email me at my website, thetoddhermanshow.com. It's also where you can subscribe to my podcast. If you want to watch me do what is effectively a great big TV show, you can do that for 27 cents a day at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. My dad loved weapons, particularly classic rifles and pistols, and he'd inherited a bunch of them from his grandfather on his mother's side, my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a character. One day I'll tell you a story about him. And great-grandpa passed down these weapons that came across the country in a covered wagon. True story, from Missouri. Grandpa was a chicken farmer in Missouri, great-grandpa. And these came across the country in a covered wagon. Great-grandpa kept that wagon. And then eventually that and a bunch of his other supplies made it to the Smithsonian Institute For real. Love that. Grandpa loved that. Great grandpa before he died loved knowing that. And so my dad inherited these weapons, things like Winchester over under 25 35s and original first pressing Colt 22s, really amazing weapons. Foolishly, my dad didn't buy a gun safe. He hid his guns. And he thought they were in really clever places. My dad lived in a rural place outside of Spokane, Washington, which is several hundred miles east of Seattle. It's quite near where I live now. My dad had had his house burglarized two times, and it was the third time that was the worst. And they got into his home, the burglars. They spent a good amount of time in his home, and they found all his guns, or at least most of them, not all. Most of them, the classics they found, and they stole them. They stole family photo albums too, all of them, to be cruel. And they defecated in his front room. So when my dad came home and found that, of course he was distraught and beside himself with anger. My dad was a huge man, not particularly in good health, but huge, massive, strong, could break an axe handle over his knee. I saw him do it. So he called the police. My uncle worked in the police force. So did my cousin. So did another cousin. It happened that one of my uncle's former partners pulled a guy over in downtown Spokane, and the guy had some of my dad's belongings in back. He arrested the guy, took him to jail, and then notified my dad, here's the guy who stole your stuff. Here's his name. He's going to be out soon. He'll bail himself out. He is a career burglar. Anytime we get him off the street, burglaries stop by about 20%. So indeed, my dad learned where that man lived. And with me and my friend, who at the time, I was in college football, my friend was in college wrestling, we went and visited that man who was wearing my dad's hat. My dad walked over and said, I want you or the rest of my things either in jail or back to me by the end of the day, or I will kill you. Well, the guy ran away and turned himself into the police, except they weren't taking any turn-ins. He tried to report my dad to the sheriff, but the sheriff was his cousin and said, you should meet with this guy and see if you can get it all worked out. Eventually, he joined the Navy and then got kicked out and in prison. This is the Todd Herman Show. Until God says we can speak again, may his peace wash over you. Thanks for listening to Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.